Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
First Samuel, that's where you're going to want to turn this morning, First Samuel. I'll start before chapter 5, but chapter 5, that I think is where you'll want to go. Tuesday night in the wee hours of Wednesday morning, God gave me a message that I've never preached on the Ebenezer. We just got through singing about that, Come Thou Fount. Look at it before I start. The songwriter said, here I raise mine Ebenezer. That's what I want to preach this morning. There are milestones in all of our lives. Things that will cause you to reflect. Well, that happened there. That happened there. There are markers in our life. That's what an Ebenezer is. Let me give you the background very quickly. And then we'll get to chapter 7. And it's a very simple outline, but it's reality. And there needs to be milestones in the pilgrimage in which we live. God desired that for the children of Israel. They crossed the River Jordan. They piled stones, 12 stones. It was there just to remind the people of what had happened there. I'll explain all of that in a quick moment. Verse 5, chapter 5 says, and the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. I'll summarize very quickly. Prior to this, Samuel is now leading the nation Israel, and they go to war against the people that are not of God, obviously, the Philistines, and they are thoroughly routed. They are defeated, and they lose so much. And there's a lot I got to say here. Let's just look at verse 12 of chapter 4. It says in verse 12, and there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. He was mourning. He was running. He's breathless. He's going back to the people of God. His people, the armies of God, the Israelites were out doing battle with the Philistines. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. His heart was with the armies of God and with the Ark of the Covenant. And his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. Now, obviously, the city's crying. The city is mourning. They've lost their loved ones. Thousands of men have fallen in battle. And they're en route. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old. And his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? Here's the picture. Here's Eli. He's sitting in the chief seat. All of the city is weeping and mourning. You can hear people crying all over the city. Eli can't see very good. Eli's 98 years of age. He's sitting and he's waiting. And he says, who are you, son? The man tells him, I've come back from the battle. Verse 16 says, verse 17, and the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. Let me put some words in between the words that are found here in the verse without reading into it. This is Eli's heart. Probably was verbalized as well. The messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And Eli says, no. And there had been a great slaughter among the people. No. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. No. And the Ark of God is taken. No! And Eli, look at the next verse. And it came to pass that when he mentioned the Ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. This is bad news. Israel's the hope of the world. Israel is been entrusted with the oracles of God. These are God's people. It's God's nation. And have been thoroughly routed and shamed and defeated in battle by none other than the Philistines. Verse 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Again, the hope of the world has been removed. Before we read chapter 7, in chapter 5, the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod and all kinds of false religions. And here's what happens. The ark of God became like a hot potato to the Philistines. Every place it went, it ends up going from Ebenezer to Ashdod to Gath to Ekron to Beth Shemesh. And everywhere it went, it brought destruction. Man, it was like it wasn't where it was supposed to be. It represented Shekinah glory, the presence of God. And it was in the midst of a heathen people. And death and destruction followed it everywhere. It was like a hot potato. And finally the Philistines said, "Get it out of here. Put it on a cart. Put two oxen in front of it that have calves. And let's just see where the cart goes." And instead of the oxen going back to their calves, was what they would normally do, it left the land and went to the Jews. And then we pick up in chapter 6, the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Let's go all the way to chapter 7. Let's just skip right over here because I want to get to the preaching. Now, dude, there's a lot of background here. You got to study it yourself. You got to see what is going on here, and God will bless your heart. I promise you. Even the Israelites, when they weren't right with God, they got clobbered with that Ark of the Covenant in their midst. We gather this morning in the presence of God. He's the holy God of Israel. He's our God. He's the Savior, Redeemer. And if we make a mockery of the grace of God like the Jews did, like they did in this story, if we don't come back to God like the Jews did, and we're going to read it here in chapter 7, it's Ichabod. It's the glory hath departed. It's being spiritually dry and dead and away from God and doing our own little carnal thing, and it's my way or the highway, and the lost cease to get saved, and Shekinah glory, it's really not there anymore. Verse 1 of chapter 7, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord." So now they're going to do it right. Now they're going to do it God's way. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now, had their hearts been right and had their hearts been not captured by sin, the Philistines would never have had the Ark of the Covenant, because God's people, because of what they did, they forfeited the right to have the Ark of God in their presence. We can do that as New Testament Christians. We don't lose our salvation, but we forfeit the right to have the power of God and the joy of God in our lives if sin captures our heart. Verse 3 says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth," and that's the goddess of sexual sins and war that the Philistines worship, "from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only." Again, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. There's one God. It's monotheism. It's God in heaven. There are no lesser gods. There are no little gods, not in reality. They're all man-made gods. There's one God, one truth, one Savior. It's really that simple. And if you'll do that and you'll serve him, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. I'm going to talk about the Ebenezer here in a moment. You know what's hard? I just want to teach this, and I'm just going to follow where I think God is leading me this morning, and I'll tie it all up at the end of the message, all right? But remember, Ebenezer, they're lamenting. 20 years, Ichabod. 20 years dead and dry. People died during that time. People died in the battlefields during that time. Verse 4 says, "And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." So there's valuable instruction that is given in verses 1 through 4. Repent. Amen. get your hearts right. And then there's going to be a gathering. I want you to call all the tribes of Israel. We're going to meet in the open and we're going to worship God. We are going to repent. We are going to fast. We're going to call upon the God of heaven. Samuel is a man of God. Remember the story of Eli and Samuel? That's just a couple chapters before this. Samuel is now the man of God. Verse 6 says, and they gathered together in Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. How long has it been since you said that? I don't mean come to church. I mean, this is personal. How long since you knelt by your bed or got off in the woods somewhere and got on your face before God and said, God, I've been doing wrong. I have sinned. I have shamed you. I've brought reproach upon you. How long has it been since you confessed sin? Say, preacher, I can't really put my finger on that. That's too long. You should have already done it this morning already. He said, we're going to come together. We're going to repent. We're going to fast. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines, or five Philistine cities, city-states, went up against Israel. So here's the deal. They heard and they saw, they got wind, Israel's gathering. All the 12, they're getting together. The tribes are getting together, and they're praying to God, the Lord God Jehovah, and they're putting on, and they're fasting, and they're getting serious, and people are confessing sins, and the Philistines thought they were gathering for war. The Philistines thought, man, they misread what they were doing. They thought they were gathering for war, and they were gathering for worship. Literally, they were gathering for spiritual war, though. And the Philistines, who, by the way, at this point, were outnumbered by the Israelites. But the Jews didn't know it. Would to God the church knew what power was available to them. Would to God the church of Jesus Christ recognize, like Elijah of old, they that before us are greater than those that be against us. You know, the fiery chariots, the flaming soldiers all around us, because it really is a spiritual battle. But the Jews, of course, they did not recognize that. The Philistines thought, man, they're gathering to war. They finally got a little backbone to them. We better attack. We better attack now before they understand what's going on. And when the Philistines, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. I remind you, the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Man, you got to know that they that are for us are greater than they that are against us. Please understand that as a child of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Understand who we are, what we have. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord. Pray, Samuel, pray unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they've gathered for worship. The Philistine army has gathered, and there's a lot of saber rattling going on. And verse 9 says, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. As the lamb was on the altar, was smoking towards heaven. The prayers of God's people were being heard in heaven as well. The voice of man is answered by the voice of God. Could it be we're not having revival because we're not praying for it? I can only answer for myself. Could it be there's not a nationwide revival in America because the church isn't asking for it? In the state of Michigan, because the church isn't asking for it. In your family, because your family is not asking for it. Verse 10 says, and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. And I think this is the understatement of all understatements. And discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. They gathered for battle, not knowing they were taking on the supernatural God of Israel. They physically were going to overrun Israel once and for all, and Israel was going to knuckle under again, and it was going to be just the same as it always was. But God heard their prayers. They had repented of their sins. So God heard their prayers, and it thundered. Very eloquent way. They experienced Shekinah glory, the holiness of God. They experienced the wrath of God. These are hardened soldiers. But what does a mere soldier with a mere weapon that man has made standing before Almighty God? Man, it was a great slaughter. The Philistines ran in every direction. God fought the battle for the Hebrews. It was a great, great victory. This is all going somewhere. And the last 5 minutes of this message, and I'm almost there, I'm going to tie it all together. All right, verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. That means house of the Lamb. And by the way, if we have done anything or accomplished anything, it's all through the Lamb. And we need to follow the Lamb. We need to look to the Lamb. Verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I'm going to read a little bit more and I'm going to come back to that verse. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron even unto Gath and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Don't ever forget God. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose perspective. So here's what ends up happening. This was a great victory. For all those years, Israel lamented. They remembered the defeat that happened on that very spot. They remembered the ark being taken, Hophni and Phinehas dying, Eli dying. They remembered and they were surrounded by, while they stood there, literally the graves. I don't think I'm reading into this at all. Of thousands of men that died in battle there in that place. Now they've come to worship. All of Israel has come to worship. Samuel gets up and he preaches a hellfire and brimstone message. He says, it's time to repent. It's our heart that God wants. You get rid of those idols, the gods of Ashtaroth. You get rid of Balaam. You get rid of all those idols that have entered into your homes and entered into your tents and quit playing games with God. And let's fast and let's cry out to God. Israel says, let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's follow God. And so they repent of their sin. They say to Samuel, will you pray to God for us? Samuel takes a lamb and he puts it on the altar and he offers that lamb as a burnt sacrifice, and the roasting meat of that lamb ascended to heaven. And it's a sweet smelling savor. And as Samuel is praying to God and all of Israel is worshiping along with him, the voice of man, the voice of God responds to the voice of man. He'll hear you if you'll get right. He is a prayer answering God. He will meet the needs of you and your family and your loved ones if you'll just come clean for God. Get rid of the idols. You know where they are. You know what they are in your life. Set them aside. Get rid of them. And that's what Israel had to do. And God heard their prayer. And God supernaturally intervened. Now the Philistines are surrounding them, going to take care of them right there in the plain. All of these mighty men of war, they're in armor. They're in chariots. They're getting ready. They're going to swoop down on them. But God hears the prayers of his people and thunders from heaven. And in the presence of God, in the presence of Shekinah glory, in the presence of the wrath of God, the Philistines crumble before the Israelites. Samuel says, wait a minute. This is all of God. We better remember this. Let's not get haughty. And Israel truly repents. And look at verse 12. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to make it as good as I can, all right? Samuel took a stone, and he set it between Mizpah and Shin. And he called the name of it Ebenezer. For the sake of remembering the miracles, the goodness, the wrath of God, for the sake of the present and for the sake of the future. Samuel, I don't know if it was a single stone. I'm not really sure for sure. I've read a couple different accounts of this, but he took a stone and he called it Ebenezer, stone of help. It's a remembrance. Samuel says to the children of Israel, everybody look this way, right there. That's where it happened. That's where God delivered us from the Philistines. That's where all of our heartache was settled. That's where God heard our prayers. This is the spot. Not that the Ebenezer was an idol. They never prayed to the Ebenezer. They never adored the Ebenezer. It was a milestone. It was there on purpose. Look at verse 12 again. There's a phrase here that I just want to drive home. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So Samuel, the man of God, says, right there, that's the spot. The Lord. The Lord. If any good has ever been done at Fundamental Baptist Church, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's done it all. You make no mistake about it. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a Sunday school teacher. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a facility. It was the Lord. Any good that has ever happened or ever come, it's the Lord. He says the center is the Lord. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you give praise to the culture for something that God has done. Don't you give praise to an idol or a false god here in this world for something that God has done. That's blasphemous is what that is. He says, hitherto, that's the key word. Hitherto. So I studied that word. That's a big word. It means if just picture in your mind, if this is it, I'll go down here. Hope you can keep the camera on me. All right. If this is the Ebenezer that Samuel sets up, he says, here's what you got to understand. It's the Lord. Hitherto, that means everything from the past, all of the great victories and the victory that took place on that battlefield right there. And there was a lot that happened on that field even prior to Samuel, a lot. You can read about that. That's actually a whole series of sermons. He said, all the goodness that God has ever done for us and all the goodness that God is doing today, for he's the God of the present, and hitherto, and all the goodness and all the acts of God that he will do in the future, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. You know what an Ebenezer, you know what that was about? It was about remembering and trusting God. It was about remembering all that he has done and trusting him for today and for the future. An Ebenezer moment where you say, thank you, God. Right there's where you did it. I remember it well. Some of us are so immature, we just keep going through life and never reflect on God. He saves our life in an automobile accident. He spares our children of destruction. He blesses us in so many ways, and we just keep right on going and never take time to praise him, never take time to thank him. We're such ungrateful, immature, juvenile Christians so often. The truth is, this is what the Ebenezer is about, remembering who our help is. Is God. Remember all that he's done in the past, all he's doing right now. Thank God, live in the present and have enough faith to trust him for the future. Go to Ephesians in chapter 2. Would you do that? Turn over to Ephesians very, very quickly. I raise up my Ebenezer so that I will not forget and so that others will know. I better turn to Ephesians myself. Ephesians. In chapter 2, let me say that statement again. I raise up an Ebenezer so that I will never forget, and also so others will know. Again, remember this. It's not an idol. We don't worship it. We don't adore it. I read a preacher did this. I read it this week. I thought, that's not bad. That's not bad. I would challenge you to do it. And I think I'm going to do it. He went and got a poster board, from the local store, and he put a mark, got himself a marker too, and he nailed it to the backside inside of his bedroom door. And every time God did something in his life, he wrote it down, and he said, "That's my Ebenezer. I leave my bedroom, I'm reminded of how good God is to me." You could not list them, by the way. The one reason I didn't do it yesterday when I thought of it, I said, "Man, where do I start? Man, where do I start? How far back do I go? My God's been good to me every step of the way." You know, we need an Ebenezer to remind us how good God is. To remind us all that he's done in our lives. Past, present, live in the present. He's the God of today the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. You live it right now with shoe leather on and then trust them for the future. The Ephesians in chapter 2, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the past. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. He lived like a sinner according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were, past tense, dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, present, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, present, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, present, that in the ages to come, future, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Past, present, and future. That's our God. Don't be a forgetful Christian. Amen. Raise up an Ebenezer, like the songwriter said. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Don't be thoughtless and never be thankful to God for the goodness of God in your life. Some of us get so caught up in our self-made problems, we don't even see God working in our lives. God, help us. What a place to live. That's a place of high blood pressure and heart attacks. That's what that's a place of. That's a place of losing your hair and getting old before your time. Don't go there. That's a place of chasing people away from the cross and the goodness of God. That's a place of instead of being someone to draw them to Christ, you chase them away. Because Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not, scattereth abroad. You know, beware of every idle word. That's a big deal. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Samuel said, children, that's where it happened. Gather around. Everybody get a good look. That's where it happened. The Ebenezer stone. I raise it up just to remind every generation that God is good. To keep my wandering heart close to God because I remember the goodness of God and how I lamented in barren times and cried out to God and asked God for his goodness in my life. And I was so far away from him, but I got right and God is faithful. And he heard me and I repented and he gave us great victory. That's where it happened. That's where the Philistines were beaten. That's where God supernaturally intervened. Don't ever get tired of telling the story of the cross, amen, of Calvary and what Jesus had done for us. Very next verse in Ephesians in chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a story, the story of grace. What a story. There's my Ebenezer. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Life, my sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I owe him everything. Man, I don't need an Ebenezer stone to remind me of that, but I got a wandering heart, and it's good to have these milestones. I can take you to the place where I got born again. It's the spot's still there. I can say right there. That's where I started to live forever. I didn't know a whole lot, but I asked Jesus in my heart right there. That's where I got saved. There was a place where I surrendered to preach, and Debbie was with me. And I've looked for it, and I cannot find it. I know the area that it's in. I traveled down there. I was underneath a big white pine tree out behind the dining hall. I got on my knees and prayed, God, if you still want me, I'm willing to go. Man, I was 19 years old. I started to run from God, and I realized what a fool I was being. And I basically said, God, I know if I don't surrender, you're going to kill me. I'm yours. I want what you have for my life. And a big, thick carpet of white pine needles. And we got up off of our knees, surrendered. Now, I've gone back to that place several times. I don't even know if that tree's still there, to tell you the truth. I looked and looked, but I know the general area. And that's Ebenezer to me. Right there, my life changed directions and started going to the right place. There are milestones in our lives. Don't forget God. Raise up an Ebenezer, not to worship, but to draw you close. You can do that right in your heart.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.